Hey, it's Lindsay, IT editor at Biz Community, and welcome to another Biz Trends 2024 podcast. The PC market is going through a time. They're losing market share to the Mac, losing mind share because of a technology gap that is growing, because they are relying on third-party suppliers like Intel and AMD. Who better than Yesh Sujuddin, MD for HP South Africa, to explain what the future of the PC looks like.
So we've had consistent decline in PC sales since the lockdowns have lifted. And now we're seeing a little bit of an uptick in sales. HP, unfortunately, lost out on the top spot, was replaced. But into 2024, what do people want from their machines, and what kind of trajectory do you see for PC sales?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think the during the lockdown, and let's call it the pandemic era, we had a lot of demand for devices that allowed people to be online, to socialize, to communicate, and to be in touch. And I think that brought about quite a strong wave of maybe rushed decisions. We're looking 3 years into the picture right now, and I think a lot of people would now start to really kind of reflect on what that purchase was, why it was, and perhaps what is the better choice going forward. Knowing that there's a lot more technology available today, there's better collaborative options open on devices, and more importantly, the security layers, I think, on PCs, since many of the lessons we've learned over the last couple of years, have been enhanced significantly. And that is in conjunction with not just HP, but I think also with the point of the operating providers such as Microsoft being used on these devices, have taken a lot of work into developing new and better features. And so I think it's the right time for people to relook at their options available, and to understand that the refresh cycle that's coming on board may include a better informed decision, and perhaps not a necessity, need for fit decision that was perhaps pushing the decision a couple of years back.
Many of the device manufacturers have now turned to subscription mm-hmm. models just as a different revenue stream. So obviously HP has the print on demand, but that didn't quite make it to South mm-hmm. Africa. Will our territory be seeing more of those subscription services in the new year?
Absolutely. I think we have to be comfortable with the fact that our generations and the way the market's moved in South Africa is stronger for a subscription-based community economy. So an organization such as HP not having that solution on the table today is perhaps it's an opportunity that we will definitely focus coming into the new year. Mm-hmm. You look at the way you purchase your PCs and the refresh cycles and the decisions that need to be made. I think absolutely, Lindsay, it's going to be a year that's going to talk about the new gig economy. It's going to be a year that talks about better subscription models, about different ways of purchasing. It's not just a point-in-time purchase and so be it, live with that for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You're going to find a lot more solutions out there in the market that allows you to adjust, evolve, and to be able to enhance your portfolio of decisions when it comes to IT products being purchased and the way they're being used.
And from a decision maker kind of perspective, from like a CTO or CIO at the company, is HP specifically, because I know some of your competitors have really ramped up their aftermarket service, and they're offering like a lot more expansive kind of product offerings in aftermarket. Mm-hmm. Is there a general trend that's going to just be the way forward, where you have like ways to build those deeper relationships with your customers?
Now that's definitely on and has been a strong part of our strategy in the last year, ramping up the service offerings, the support. I think it's easy to perhaps translate that as an individual and a user, whether you're in a corporate environment or even in a home environment, the fact of you having a product means that you're going to raise into a lot more a digital environment, right? Firstly, mm-hmm. you're going to be using a lot more applications. You're going to be communicating far more effectively in the digital world. It was inevitable that we needed to have that digitization and that service level support be accelerated, having better options in terms of how you support it. As an IT manager over in a corporate, as an example, you just don't want to respond to the problem. Mm-hmm. You want to understand what is going on in your environment and be able to address problems before they happen. And so part of the service offerings and the plethora of services that we intend to continually strengthen for both our corporate and commercial, or maybe even our consumer customers to an extent, is also about using intelligence, right, in the mm-hmm. way we're doing that. How can we bring better intelligence into the devices? How do we bring better features that inform the users of what can be improved, how to improve it, and how we can extend that life of the device, but more importantly, enhance the usability and the experience on our devices. And that's core. And that's core because there's a lot of machine language, there's a lot of AI available today, and we've got to use that to the advantage of enhancing the experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Does that extend to kind of, you were talking about extending the life of the device, and end of life, mm-hmm. are you looking at more like subscription packages where you maybe replace? Because I mean, the pace of innovation is speeding up right now. Like you're getting new hardware capabilities like literally every 6 months.
yes,
how
yes,
you, how
absolutely.
Are you responding to that?
I think you need both, Kyle. Sorry, Lindsay. The first thing is that you have a life cycle of a device that perpetually, I mean, for many people might say, yeah, I will find use of the unit in year two, year three, and maybe even beyond. But when I do decide that the product is not capable enough to perform the functions that I need because my work has evolved, then you do have an opportunity to purchase new or trade in the old. That's the first part of it. But then there's the other side of it, which means that I may be already a year into a cycle of the decisions that I've made. And do I have a way of upgrading and moving out by trading it in earlier? And are those solutions available? And absolutely, it's to the vendors today, an ecosystem of the multiple partners and the way we sell and the way we're trading today that we have to bring those to offer on the table in the year coming ahead.
Oh, that's cool. And then just like sticking with device, I see there's all these new form factors that are coming out. When Qualcomm put out the Snapdragon X Elite, they showed like all the different form factors that can come in, and like Windows Compute on ARM. But do we really need to reimagine the laptop form factor, or will we see a return to the clamshell? What do you see in the customer data? What do you see? What are customers wanting from PC manufacturers?
I think it would be remiss for any vendor to start imagining that a device that suits one suits all.
Yeah.
Firstly, we have to turn the clock back and have a look at how the world's changed. No more are people working in a particular environment. So when we design notebooks to work well in an office environment, it may not trade that great in a coffee environment. It may not be suitable if you are a small, medium business owner that you need to move around, or for that matter, you're a teacher that are doing online classes. So I think that the recipe will apply both for notebooks as well as for desktops. You would be seeing better, different form factors being presented and coming to market. The adoption rates may be different as they generally are, depending on where, you know, a person is in their journey.
Yeah.
But I think understanding a traditional open, close, clamshell-based device is the only solution, absolutely not. There's versatility in the fact of having touch, right? It's becoming far more prevalent. Maybe a few years ago, I might not have used touch that often. You almost can never do without it these days. So, you know, you have to have those kind of features tied into it. And yes, you're right, that technology will accelerate us to find better purposes. But when we talk about collaborative environments, it's not just about having a really great microphone, a really great camera. There's an ecosystem within a device itself that lends itself to enhancing that experience. And with our work with Poly that we have in our portfolio today, that's what's really driving the discussion. It's not just about the design, but it's a fit in an environment, because you, your device should follow you to the environment you're working in, not so much having to fit in a particular office space, or for that matter, a coffee table or a study.
Yeah, but that's big risk on the manufacturing side, because now you have to like cater to multiple SKUs of devices. Yeah, you might not be able to sell the volumes that justify the manufacture.
I think that's a correct statement. You know, I wouldn't see it as risk, though, Lindsay. I would say it's more of an opportunity. Today, when we look at the way people interact with their devices, it needs to be more a fit for their lifestyle more than a need to have a device. So I think, in all fairness, we need to be responsible to find devices that work in different environments, challenge ourselves to bring these solutions. And yes, they may not be the mainstream, but as individuals grow in the ecosystem, we are all looking for personalization. We're all looking for a right fit for the environment. We all have a preference to a brand, but we also have preferences to the way we work. And we'd rather have these devices adapt more towards us. And I think that's the right thing to be doing.
Okay. Cool. And then like voice was ambient computing was supposed to be the future of computing, and that's not gone that well. And then now, like VR, AR is like the new thing. Where does compute evolve to? Where do you think, like in your wildest dreams, as someone who's working in technology, as someone who's making a lot of decisions in terms of what to bring to territories and can see the roadmap going forward, what's the next step in computing?
I think the next step in computing is certainly the topic on the table, which is AI, and, and I think we cannot miss that because AI gives us a lot of capability in the sense of, and we talk about AI and computing, we talk about edge AI, right? So AI that's present on the devices, and today we've become perhaps focused a lot on having a lot of our, let's say, processing done in the cloud, right? And I think the next new shift that will stay for a while is AI and processing of your data on your device. Why? Because of course, latency, cost, and more importantly, you know, having that security tied into it. What does that mean? Well, I think that opens up the door, Lindsay. It creates the platform for a lot of these opportunities. You talk about voice and the way you're interacting with your devices today. I don't think we're going to be limited by keyboard for sure. We're not going to be limited by just touch for that matter. We want also an ecosystem connected to it. I want to understand that the AI that my device drives about making and finding me information and perhaps being able to sift through and replicate tasks is also the AI that's tied into my headset and the AI that's tied into the devices, and the ecosystem talks to each other. And I think that's the biggest one. When the ecosystem talks to each other and they understand collectively what the placement of the room is in the meeting room that you're using, how's that temperature adjusting for where you need to be on how many people are occupying at the same point, the meeting rooms are already set up, and understanding that your vicinity and your position within a particular environment calls for a meeting happening at, example, 11 a.m., the room gets itself ready. So I think it's more about smart preparation, smart handover, and an ecosystem that becomes truly seamless is what AI may perhaps bring to the entire ecosystem of peripherals connected to devices. And that's where we're focusing a lot on that. And I think that that's what you'll see going forward, is that there's going to be a seamless handover between devices, a seamless handover between the environments that you work in. And I think that's great. I think that's great because we'll all fumble at some point to reach out for a particular connection or to set up an environment. These are tradable, real opportunities that sit today on the table that give people the benefit upfront, right? Really, just that way. Now, that could easily move into different ways of viewing, different ways of connecting. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot to be seen in technology, right? Absolutely a lot. Absolutely in the different products and the ecosystems. And we're not just talking about HP talking to HP-based devices. Yeah. The ecosystem is wider than that. We understand that as well.
Yeah, that was my question is, like, this all sounds like a lot of work, a lot of collaboration that needs to happen in the background between different kind of manufacturers and you and your partners and all that. Is everyone kind of working towards a standard to have that kind of seamless handover? Or is HP just like building something that it thinks is going to be the future and that may may not be compatible with other solutions?
I think everyone's working together. I don't think the answer to that is one individual or one, let's say, organization or one entity working on their own. The strength of progress is really about the partnerships. And we have fundamentally developed that strong with our alliance partners. We grow together with them. We develop, we take insight into it. And so we understand that that roadmap is always an evolutionary one. And in order to do that, the only way you can get to progress is by having stronger partnerships. So we work very closely. We work very closely with our alliance partners. We work very closely with the engineers designing and devising what are the best ways that we don't limit the choice of individuals to say you can only work in this particular frame. And if you step out of the realm, of course, in many cases, you will get limited capabilities when you're working, you know, in a multifaceted, multi-branded environment. I'll take you a real example today. In our services solution stack, we're offered the ability to manage and monitor products in a network, in a corporate environment. Now, we understand that that corporate environment isn't a corporate environment that's restricted or limited to one vendor. It's a multi-brand environment. Of course, my tool sets can perhaps give you a lot more information about my product, but it certainly does not stop me from helping an IT manager manage a holistic environment, because we understand that that is part and parcel of an open industry network or standard that can add value, right? And so we all work together, perhaps not always, you know, in the same rate or the same pace,
Yeah.
but there is some sense in that partnership.
Do you see the value of AI in that to help take the load off the customer in terms of like no code solutions or those kinds of things? Are you building
Yeah,
towards that
absolutely.
future?
Absolutely. I think AI brings a lot of productivity and efficiency enhancements to any role, any organization. Not looking at AI today is perhaps missing an opportunity to grow their revenue faster, to rescale and reshape their resources. There's the benefit in investing in that because it really talks to about doing more with less always. I think in a world that we have today, we're generating data and we continuously generate a lot of data, more so than we did the year before. What does that mean for us? And this is perhaps the first time that we should be looking at, we could use that data more effectively to have better informed decisions, not to be able to take control, but to give guidance and to allow us to be able to focus on the things that we need to and spend more time. I know for one, I think everybody today out of post-pandemic environment is doing more, working harder and trying to be more productive, balancing different facets of life. So I see this more as an enabler and absolutely every single segment of the business, be that retail, commercial, consumer, print, PC, in any genre that you have, there is a portion of AI enhancement that will drive productivity enhancement and reduce risk for organizations, period.
Okay. And then just in closing, I had a conversation earlier with someone from in he works in e-waste in the country. And obviously with all this like device turnover and like in the hardware cycle that we are in now, there's a lot of waste being generated. And maybe those devices that are exiting are now not as environmentally sound in their production as the newer ones that are coming. What's HP's approach to recycling those devices as they kind of prompting people to into a upgrade cycle?
So recycling is just one component of what I would want to call a responsible, more sustainable journey, right? Not just for a country, but for an organization. And there's multiple facets that we enhance and ensure that we're creating more sustainable products, right from the time we're building to the factories we use, to the logistic process, to the components and the materials we're using in our devices that allow us to be able to be more responsible to the environment. Today, recycling is perhaps, there's two parts of it. In most cases, you'll find that there is a second life for devices. Why? At the end of the day, because if the refresh rates on devices are increasing more rapidly and having shorter turnaround times, you're going to see an opportunity for a reuse or a refurb kind of environment. We're working today with partners to try and afford that in a sense of being making those devices affordable in a second life form. Why do I say that? Well, because if there's still capability and capacity for it, there may be some markets that could not attain the opportunity of having an access to a device that could it could serve. In addition to that, we've partnered with a couple of companies that allow us to be able to not only wipe the data and firstly make it secure, but also take you through the process of breaking it down, recycling, and using that environment. Could we do more? Absolutely. Absolutely, Lindsay. I think the challenge is always, can we do more and can we drive stronger partnerships out there? But I think, in all fairness, it's a responsibility and a pillar that cannot be ignored by any vendor today. And we continue to strive to try to do better in that avenue.